In about 1 week's time, we'll have the auspicious appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So whenever we have the opportunity to give class, we would like to give class on the Bhagavatam, because every day we're to give class on the Bhagavatam. And as we heard from the Prabhupada Lilamrita, it was Prabhupada's example and Prabhupada's standard that every day in the morning, he would give class either on Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he was, of course, had translated and was working on. So in the same way, over the next 2 days, in the evening, every evening at 7 o'clock, in the light membership room, we'll have class in Chaitanya Bhagavatam. We started last night, 7 to 8:30. And in the morning, whenever we have opportunity, we'll give class on Chaitanya Bhagavat. Because the Chaitanya Bhagavat is an interesting book because it is not only the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the teachings and life story of Lord Chaitanya, but it is also the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you get both in one. If you study the Chaitanya Bhagavat, you're having Srimad Bhagavatam class, and you're also having Chaitanya Charitamrita class in one. Because, first of all, Vyasadeva incarnated as Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vyasadeva gave the Srimad Bhagavatam in the form of Vyasadeva, and he gave the Srimad Bhagavatam in the form of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the form of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Therefore, that's one point. And the second point is, when you study Chaitanya Bhagavat, you will see that in all the different pastimes of the Lord, he so much quotes Srimad Bhagavatam and preaches Srimad Bhagavatam. So after Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya, he came to Gaya and took initiation from Ishvara Puri. He received his mantra, Hare Krishna mantra, Gayatri, and then he came back to Mayapur. And of course he had a school, he was a teacher. He had a Sanskrit school, he was teaching logic and Sanskrit. But now he was changed because of his association with his Sadguru, Ishvara Puri. And by receiving mantra diksha, he was a changed person. This is the power of diksha. It changes the consciousness. It changes our whole outlook in life. So when he returned to school, he was a different person. So Chaitanya Bhagavat very nicely explains how Lord Chaitanya, how he started to act after he returned from Gaya. So one day, there was one brahmana. His name was Ratnagarbha Acharya. He came to visit Lord Chaitanya. He was a friend of Jagannath Mishra, the father of Lord Chaitanya. And they were both born in the same village. The three sons of Ratnagarbha Acharya were like bumblebees attracted to the honey of Krishna's lotus feet. His three sons were named Krishnananda, Jiva, and Yadunandan Kavichandra. This Brahmin, Ratnagarbha Acharya, had great love for the Srimad Bhagavatam. And at that moment, when he arrived and to visit Lord Chaitanya, he was reciting a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 23, verse 22. Shamam Hiranya Paridim Vanamalya Bhara Datu Pravala Natavesham Anubratam She Vinyasta Hastam Mitarena Dunanam Madjam Karnot Palaka Kapola Mukabja Hasam. The wives of the yogic brahmanas, they saw Krishna putting on glittering garments of gold. He wore a nice forest garland and a peacock feather on his head. Krishna's face was painted very attractively and beautifully with mineral pigments which were collected from the hill of Govardhan. He looked exactly like a dancing actor on a theatrical stage. They saw Krishna keeping his hand on the shoulder of a friend. In his other hand he was twirling a lotus flower. Twirling means spinning. Spinning back and forth. Twisting a lotus flower. It's actually explained that Krishna, he carries a very small lotus flower. It's called toy lotus flower. It's very small. And he twirls that, he twists it when he walks. Sometimes when he's standing, he leans on his friend with one hand on Sri Dhammasubal. In his other hand, he's twirling this lotus flower. And Das Goswami explains that when Krishna is twirling the lotus flower, and the gopis look at Krishna standing in his Tribhanga Lalitam, his threefold bending form, their minds become spun around. Just like the lotus flower is spinning like this, back and forth in Krishna's hand, where their minds start spinning back and forth, because they're so overwhelmed by the unlimited, beautiful form of Krishna, that they become murka, they become practically senseless. So this is the verse that's describing the beautiful form, the Madhurya Rup of Krishna. Krishna's ears were decorated with lilies, and he wore marks of tilak made from Gaurachar, and he was smiling very charmingly. So this Brahmana, Ratna Garbhacharya, he read this verse to Lord Chaitanya with great devotion and happiness. And when this verse entered the ears of Lord Chaitanya, at once Lord Chaitanya fell down unconscious. When his students saw this, they were astonished. Because before this time, before Lord Chaitanya was initiated, before he went to Gaya, he was a very proud scholar, Nimai Pandit, because he had already defeated Keshava Kashmiri, Digvijay Pandit from Kashmir, and he was the greatest logician in Navadvipa. Because at that time, Navadvipa was famous for Sanskrit, and so many schools of logic, Naya, were there. People from South India would come to Mayapur to study Nyaya, logic. People from North India would go to Navadvipa to study logic. So Lord Chaitanya was the master. He was the champion of logic at that time. He never said anything about Krishna. He never wore tilak. He didn't want anything to do with this Vaishnava religion. But now it's explained. Now he came back. He had the Gaudiya. He had this tilak on. And now he's hearing a verse from this Ratnagarbhacharya, this Brahmana, hearing a verse about the beauty of Krishna, and he goes unconscious. And his students were amazed. What? What is this? Is Nimai Pandit, the proud scholar who never bows down to anyone, who never ever once talked about God, never once mentioned the name of Krishna, never once said anything about Bhagavan or Seva. Now he's fainting in it, like a great Mahabhagavat. He's fainting, going unconscious upon hearing the Bhagavatam. What is this? So then, when Lord Chaitanya, he came back to external consciousness, he said, say it, say it, say it, repeat it, repeat it. And he started rolling on the ground, telling the Brahmana to repeat that verse again and again. And again the Brahmana repeated the verse. In other words, he was relishing it so much. It's like on our level, we relish prasadam. So someone comes, they give you a little bit. This is Indian system. They give you a little bit on your plate. Then you take them, oh, this sabji's very good. More, hey Prabhu, more of that one. That green one, I want more of that one. Repeat that one. Give me more. Because the taste is so nice. So Lord Chaitanya, he's hearing this. This is Shravanam Amritam. Tapakatamritam Taptajivanam. Kata Amrita, this nectar. He heard this nectar verse, and he said, repeat that. He said, say it, say it, say it, say it. He's four times, repeat that verse, repeat it. I want to hear again the sweet nectar description of Krishna's beautiful form. Just as we relish when something touches our tongue and we feel it gives us a sense of happiness. For the liberated souls, when the sound vibration touches their ear, and then it touches their heart, they relish the same happiness that we relish at a big feast. Because we are Anamoya. We are the platform of Anamoya. We realize Krishna by eating. We eat some nice food. Oh yes, Krishna's mercy. Very good. Hare Krishna. Good prasadam. Achi prasad. And we went to this place over here. Oh, we went to Mr. Gupta's house for program. Oh, the best prasadam, Prabhu. You hear for 3 days afterwards the glories of that feast at Mr. Gupta's wedding, his wedding feast. Oh, he had this and he had that and this and that and this and that. Lord Chaitanya, he's simply hearing this Shravanam Katamritam. Shravanam Katamritam. And he's rolling on the ground in ecstasy, just like we roll on the ground in ecstasy after the Sunday feast. After the Sunday feast, oh, Arivo! So The Lord Chaitanya is rolling. Say that verse again. The Brahmana repeated the verse, and then an enchanting ocean of Krishna Sukh, Krishna happiness arose. With tears from his eyes, Lord Chaitanya sprinkled the ground. He cried and he trembled and shook all over. His hair stood erect. These are different sattvic ecstasies. Seeing the Lord's ecstatic happiness, the Brahmana, who with great happiness and devotion, again read that verse. Seeing that the Brahmana was reading with great devotion, the Lord embraced him. This is a nice point. Vrindavanadas Thakur is mentioning that the Brahmana, when he read the verse, he read with great devotion. He didn't read it like a machine or mechanically. He read with devotion, very attentively and very feelingly. Because each verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually part of the Sarupa of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is a personal body of the Lord. So therefore, each verse of the Bhagavatam, there's 18,000 verses, so these 18,000 verses, they make up the form of the Lord. As is explained by the Acharyas, the first and second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the feet of the Lord, the lotus feet of the Lord, and the ankles and the calves or the shanks of the Lord. So each part of the Bhagavatam, what is the Bhagavatam? It's so many verses. So when you read the first and second canto, each one of those verses is part of the body of the Lord. Just like is explained that the tenth canto represents the smiling face of the Lord. So all the verses, each verse of the tenth canto represents a different part of Krishna's face. So therefore, when we're reading these verses, there must be some devotion because you're actually seeing your beloved in each verse. Those devotees that are actually Krishna conscious, when they read each verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they see the beloved form of Krishna. They see the personal form of Krishna. And then, what is the 11th and 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? It is the mukut. It is the mukut, it is the crown. The 11th and 12th canto are the crown of the Lord with a different peacock feather and different decorations there. It's the 11th and 12th canto. So this Brahmana was repeating with great devotion. And the Lord was happy and he embraced him. And when Ratnagarbha Acharya was embraced, he became filled with ecstatic love by the embrace of Lord Chaitanya. We have the experience, actually, in the Vaishnava Sarusanga. There is a principle of Sparsha. And there is something called Sparsha Mani. In Vedic culture, Sparsha Mani is translated as touch stone. But Mani actually means gem. Gem, jewel. And Sparsha means touch. That Sparsha Mani is a substance, is a touchstone. You touch that to something else, and that substance becomes gold. It's very special. You take the Sparsha Mani, if you have a Sparsha Mani, and you touch it to something, then that thing becomes gold. And there's a story of Sanatana Goswami had one of these. So, this sense of touch is a great source of Maya for the conditioned soul. Sparsha, right? Sparsha, Gandha, then Shabda, Rasa. There's five senses and five sense objects. And the sense of touch is a great source of Maya. Man wants to touch woman. Touch and squeeze and hold and have. And woman wants to touch man. Touch, embrace, hold and have. This is Maya. So this sense of touch is pushing. This is the Vachovegam. There's a pushing. The man's hands are pushed. He wants to reach out and touch the lady. And the woman's hands are pushed. She wants to reach out and embrace the broad chest of a powerful, strong man. This is pushing. Vachovegam. This is Maya. So, how to purify this sense of touch? In Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami says, the first thing you do to purify the sense of touch is put your hand in your bead bag. Because if you want to reach out and grab someone, it's a little hard when your hand is tied up in your bead bag. You ever see when you want to, you have some Mahaprasadam and you want to give the Mahaprasadam to someone and their hand is, and the bead bag is wrapped around their wrist, the strap is wrapped around, oh wait a minute, Prabhu. Oh yeah. They get their right hand out of their bead bag. So it takes a little time. So if your hand is tied up in your bead bag, then it makes it a little hard to get out and touch. So the first thing we do is we put our hand in the bead bag to purify our sense of touch. Why? What's in the bead bag? Vrindaye tosi devai priyaye kesavasya krishna bhakti pranidevi satyavatyai namo namah. The satyavatyai is in the bead bag. What is in the bead bag? The truth. Satyavat. Satya. The truth is pure devotion to Krishna. And pure devotion to Krishna is given by Vrinda Devi. She gives that. She is a Leela Shakti. So, Sanatana Goswami explains in Hari Bhakti Vilas, we purify the sense of touch by touching Tulsi wood. Tulsi wood is Vrinda Devi Roop. It is the Swayam. It is the Roop of Vrinda Devi. Not neem wood beads. No. When Prabhupada was in New York, there was no Tulsi. So he gave us red beads, these red beads from just some kind of karmi, you know, some beads, wooden beads. And some devotees, they show they still have the original beads from 1966. Because there was no Tulsi. Just like when the Russian devotees were arrested and put into those psychiatric prisons. There were no beads. And there was no wood either, no plain wood. So what did they do? They got the bread. They were given bread. And then they took the bread, the black bread, and they made little balls. And then they took the sheets from their bed, or some kind of the cloth from their prison clothes, and they ripped little pieces, and they strung the strings from their prison clothes through the little balls of bread. And they made 108 balls of bread, like little bata, little balls. And they made their japa mala out of dried bread. So they were chanting japa on dried bread balls. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So the idea is, the point where Prabhupada did is time, place, and circumstance, kaladeshan patra. Chant the holy name on some kind of beads, made out of wood or made out of bread balls. But if you follow Shastra, if you have the opportunity to follow Shastra, Sanatana Goswami says, chant on Tulsi beads. Why? Because when you touch the body of Tulsi, or you touch Tulsi, you purify the sense of touch. Why is that? Why is it when you touch Tulsi, you purify the sense of touch? Because Tulsi is Sparsha Mani. Why is Tulsi Sparsha Mani? Because Tulsi is a pure devotee of the Lord. So the body of a devotee is Sparsha Mani. The body of a devotee is Sparsha Mani. It is a touchstone. It can turn your iron-like heart into gold. And the example is Ratnagarbhacharya in Chaitanya Bhagavad. He was a Brahmin, a Dvija. He had knowledge, but he did not have prema or ecstasy. But now he pleased the Lord by his service. He read the Srimad Bhagavatam with great devotion. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm very happy. And Lord Chaitanya embraced him while he was in an ecstatic mood of sattvic vikars. And when he was in that ecstatic mood, he transferred his ecstasy to the body of Ratnagarbha. That's why Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying here in this verse that Ratnagarbhacharya, by the embrace of Lord Chaitanya, he became ecstatic. So this indicates that the body of the devotee is a Sparsha Mani. It is a touchstone. So by contacting the body of a devotee, you receive the blessings of the devotee. Because when Lord Chaitanya embraced Ratnagarbhacharya, he transferred the bhava of his heart, the ecstasy he felt, to Ratnagarbha. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, then Ratnagarbha felt great ecstasy. So as I mentioned, this sense is sparsha, this sense of touch is a great source of maya. So the first way we purify the sense of touch is keep our hand in our bead bag. Because we're touching Tulsi. And by touching Tulsi, the body of the devotee, Vrindadevi, our sense of touch becomes purified. And the second activity, which is done in the Vaishnava Sangha, is that devotees embrace. They embrace one another. And what happens is, according to the advancement of that devotee, he transfers his bhava or his purity to the other devotee. So therefore, we've all had the experience that when we meet a very advanced devotee, a very advanced Gaudiya Vaishnava, we pay obeisances or dandavats, we glorify them, and if they're very kind to us, they will embrace us. Oh Maharaj, Haribo, and they embrace us very lovingly, very warmly. And what happens as a result of that, we feel very happy. We feel that happiness is because we're becoming purified. This is a sparsha mani. So the men will embrace the men and the ladies will embrace the ladies. And this way the sense of touch becomes purified. Because as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the sense of touch is a very powerful sense. And it is driving us, it is driving men. Men are becoming mad to touch women. And women are mad to touch men because of this sense of touch. But we have a very nice system in the Gaudiya line that this sparshamani principle, that the Vaishnava's body is a sparshamani. If he's on the level, if he is in sattvic bhav, if he's on the level of bhava bhakti or prema bhakti, that when he embraces someone, that person will become tremendously purified to the point of developing ecstasy, as the example of given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But unfortunately, in the age of Kali Yuga, people are surrounded by shells of impersonalism, like a shell, like a surrounding. Everyone is very uptight due to various phenomenons of the modern age. If two men are embracing in Kali Yuga, they'll say, oh, these people are homosexual. Or if two ladies are embracing, oh, these people are homosexual. Not understanding the warm exchange of culture. You see in Greece and other places, Rome and India, traditionally people would embrace this, just like we came from Holi 2 days ago in Barsana. So in Barsana Holi, it was very, very wonderful to actually enter into the spirit, because people take color and they go to each other and they put on your face very gently, they rub on your face and touch your forehead. And then they say, Prem Se, Prem Se. They're expressing their love. And you can feel there's a difference between the touch of love and a knuckle sandwich. Do you know the difference between the touch of love and a knuckle sandwich? We have tender, they have terms like tender hands or tender touch. So when lovers touch each other, or a mother touches or fondles her son, it's very loving, very tender, very sweet, affectionate, full of feelings. But a knuckle sandwich, this is a knuckle sandwich. These are knuckles, these little bumps. And when you insult my mother, and I punch you in the nose, that's knuckle sandwich. It's very painful, very suffering. So this holy, they take the powder and very lovingly they say, Prem Se, Prem Se, and then they embrace. This side and then that side. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Parthasarathi. And so what happens is, that after about half hour, 1 hour of embracing, total strangers, but the common bond is devotion to Krishna, devotion to Radha. The devotees come to Barsana, they're devotees. They come from Bareilly and Delhi and there, here, there, everywhere. And they meet there, Radhe, Radhe, Prem Se, Prem Se. Because this is the mood. Because 5,000 years ago, all the devotees from Nandagam, all the sakkas, they came to Barsana with big music and big playing and drums and berries and kettle drums and flutes and all kinds of instruments. And all the boys came in a big parade, big marching parade. All kinds of colors and pitchkaris and syringes. And they went to Barsana to play holy with the sakis and the gopis of Barsana. All the girls of the village. And then they play, and it's a great festival of love. It is a real love festival. And there's no envy, and there's no anger, and there's no fault finding. There's a wonderful exchange. So even today, 5,000 years ago, Barsana was on 17th and 18th is Nandagram, and today starts in Vrindavan, and it goes until Purnima, the festival of Holi. So what happens is that this is an experience of sparshamani, the Vaishnava sparshamani principle. the body, after 1.5 hour, 1 hour embracing different devotees, everyone, the atmosphere is so joyful. Everyone feels so happy. It's interesting because in material world, if a man embraces a woman, it increases the bodily conception. It increases the bodily attachment tremendously. That's why it says, Yanmaitunani Grihamedi Sukami Tucham. This Pumsa Sriya Matuni Bhavametam. When man and woman become combined, it is a hopeless situation. They can never get free. So this is as soon as they contact one another. But when devotees, the contact of one devotee with another, if you embrace another devotee, just the opposite principle happens. You get detached from the body. You increase your remembrance of Krishna because you're becoming purified. So this is one principle of Krishna consciousness, that we purify our sense of touch by chanting on Tulsi, and we embrace the bodies of the Vaishnavas. But nowadays, everyone's so uptight with false ego. Hey, wait a minute. Don't you know who I am? I'm GBC, XYZ, I'm big sannyasi, I'm big guru, I'm temple president, I'm temple commander. So we wear all these false layers, all these false layers of upadhi. It's like, sometimes it goes out 1 foot or 2 feet or 3 feet. Some people have so many layers around them that you can't get within 20 feet of that person. There's so much false hunkar and so much false layers around them that you can't get very close. You have to sit down about 50 feet away and look into the distance. But we see that the most advanced devotees in Krishna consciousness, they're very, very open. Because they're completely pure. And they're completely transparent. And they're not hiding anything. They don't need any false shells. They don't need anything false. You can get very close to them. Very, very close to them. And they'll embrace you. It's not like, hey, wait a minute, I'm so-and-so. You can't touch me. You can't get near me. When you come in to see me, you have to stay 50 feet away from me. This is not sadhu sangha. So, we read Chaitanya Charitamrita. We read Chaitanya Bhagavad. And we see that in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, they're always dancing, they're always preaching philosophy, they're always engaged in service, and the devotees are always embracing one another, welcoming each other. When Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, when he heard the devotees arrive, he didn't think, oh, well, I'll just sit here, and they'll all come and see me. And they'll all bring me garlands, and they'll all bring me gifts, because I'm Lord Chaitanya. He had thought, oh, the devotees are coming? Oh, quick, arrange for garlands. Get sandalwood, get chandan, get garlands. Let's go down and greet them. And he would send an advance party to the Ataranala Bridge. Ataranala Bridge going into Puri. There's 18 Atara, 18 arches. The bridge has 18 arches underneath the bridge. It goes up over the Barganadi River. That's the first place after walking for 1 month from Bengal. You walk for 1 month to get to Puri. And when you first get there to that bridge, you look to your right up the river, then you see the chakra, and you see the beautiful flag in the distance, and you offer your dandavats. You feel so happy. Seeing that chakra means seeing Lord Jagannath. There's no difference. So at that place, when Lord Chaitanya heard the news, although that was several, 6 kilometers from the temple, when he heard that, he immediately would send the advance party to greet them. Then he would come on himself and embrace Lord Nityananda and embrace Advaitacharya and Gadadhar. Well, and so much embracing was going on, loving embracing, and exchanging of garlands, and Lord Chaitanya would put sandalwood pulp on all the devotees and offer them garlands. How many times will you read? You'll read 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, 40 times, 50 times how Lord Chaitanya is personally serving the devotees. He's not thinking, I'm the big person, I'm the big leader, I can't serve. Very much. We have to express on our own, whatever level we're on, take this mood of Lord Chaitanya, this show some feelings, some warmth. This is supposed to be a society of personal dealings. But we find in our society the height of impersonalism. We find in our society the height of impersonal dealings. You can go to Hardwar, you can go to Puri, you visit some other ashrams. If you're someplace where there's no ISKCON temple, and you go to some ashram, they have a Mayavadi philosophy that God is one. that you merge and you lose your identity, you lose your individuality, you lose your personality, you lose all feelings. This is their conclusion, their philosophy. But when you go to their ashram, they're so personal, they're so full of feelings, and they're so kind. You say, wait a minute. I read your books and your philosophy, it's completely impersonal. When I come here, you say, please sit down. Do you want something to eat? Please stay, here's a room for you. Do you want some water? I said, wait a minute. I've had the experience myself. 20 years traveling in India. So our philosophy is supposed to be saturated with ras, bhakti ras, and prema, and exchanges, and so many. The topmost conclusion is the most intimate exchange of personal feelings and dealings. But when does that happen? Does it ever happen on a day-to-day basis? Do we ever become personal? Does anyone ever become personal or feelingful? Because buildings don't make devotees. You can have 500,000 square feet of floor space, and you won't make one devotee. Devotion, not only devotion, but just civility. Civility in dealings, personal feelings. This makes, first make a friend. First make a friend and then talk about making a devotee. But we don't even know how to make friends. Making friends means, hello. Where are you from? Oh, my name's Kapila. What's your name? Oh, really? Where are you? This and that. Are you hungry? You make a person feel welcome and friendly. So we're talking about opening a big temple in Janmashtami. That doesn't mean anything. The temple will never open. This temple will never open until the members of this temple open their hearts to each other and to the conditioned souls. This is a fact. This temple will never open. Because unless we break down our shells of impersonalism and start acting like people, real people, with real feelings, not, oh, I'm too busy for move, I'm very busy. Busy doing what? What are you doing? Moving papers around, moving numbers around. You're too busy to be a person. You're too busy to show some feelings. You're too busy to actually show Krishna consciousness. What is Krishna consciousness? Buildings, paper, money, cars, books? That is not it. Krishna consciousness is a living principle of the soul, a living principle of the spirit. It is bhakti. It is the most personal thing. You ask any devotee how they became a devotee. And you ask them, do you remember, how did you join? Oh, I remember, it was a big building, there was 27 rooms in the building. And they don't say anything like that. I remember, oh, it was Krishna Das. It was so-and-so, where I met Gopal Krishna Maharaj. He preached to me, he made me a devotee. They don't say, oh, I remember, yeah, it was the White Marble in Bombay. People don't remember buildings, they remember devotees. Yes, I went to Bombay, I met Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he spent the whole afternoon with me, he convinced me I joined. Devotees make devotees. So that means we have to be very personal. We have to practice opening up and get to each other and to the people when they come. This is the principle of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So friendly, so kind, so loving. So after Ratnagarbhacharya, he read this Bhagavatam verse to the Lord, and he was embraced by the Lord, and he was filled, became filled with ecstatic love by the embrace of the Lord. Then out of appreciation and gratitude, Ratnagarbhacharya, he grasped hold of Lord Chaitanya's feet, and he started crying. Now the Brahman was caught in the trap of Lord Chaitanya's love. Such a nice phrase. So the Lord, Ratnagarbhacharya, he came to Mayapur, he read a verse, he served the Lord was pleased, the Lord gave him his embrace, and he became trapped in a network of love, the Lord's love. Filled with love, now the Brahman was filled with love. Again and again he read that verse, and Lord Chaitanya loudly demanded, read it again, and again, and again. Seeing this, all the students of Lord Chaitanya became filled with wonder. What is going on? Then all the townspeople ran. Because, as you know, in India, as soon as any little thing happens, everybody, a big crowd gathers around. As soon as any little thing, oh, what's going on? 5,000 people will stop just to look. The same thing, it doesn't matter what it is. So the same thing when Lord Chaitanya was saying, repeat this verse, repeat it, everyone became a big commotion in town, and all the people in Mayapur were running there to see what was going on. And they became filled with wonder, and they bowed down to offer respect. And then Gadadhar said, don't read anymore. Then everyone sat down around Lord Chaitanya. Because Lord Chaitanya was completely absorbed in internal consciousness and relishing this beautiful verse describing Krishna's form. After some time, Lord Chaitanya returned to external consciousness, and he said, because everyone's looking at him, you could imagine he was in completely in Krishna, absorbed in inner consciousness, Krishna consciousness, relishing this verse. And when he opened his eyes, there were hundreds of people standing around looking at him. You could imagine if you fell unconscious and you wake up and all there's hundreds of eyes looking down at you, lying on the ground. And then he said, oh, he saw everyone looking at him. When he looked out, he was lying on the ground. Because he was rolling on the ground, as described earlier. And when he looked up, he said, oh, what's everyone looking at? Tell me, what happened? Did I act restlessly? And then the students replied, with folded hands, they looked at their teacher. This is their teacher. Imagine this: your teacher did something like this in school. Starts rolling on the ground and crying. And then they said, my Lord, you are glorious and learned. What power do we have to say anything about you? What can we say? Then the Lord's friend said, please, be quiet. Don't praise him. Now, having suppressed his ecstatic emotions and being in external consciousness, the Lord Chaitanya and all his associates went to see Ganga. They offered obeisances to the Ganga, placed some Ganga water on their heads, and sat down by the banks of the Ganga. Lord Chaitanya appeared just like Nanda Maharaj's son, surrounded by the coward boys on the bank of the Yamuna. In the company of all his devotees, Shachi's son enjoyed pastimes talking about Krishna. After some time, everyone took their leave and returned home, and Lord Chaitanya went to his home. Then, an interesting phrase, Lord Chaitanya went home. He who is the master of the world enjoyed his evening meal, and afterwards he cast a glance on the transcendental pastime of sleep. Very nice. Vrindavanas Thakur is saying, Lord Chaitanya took his evening meal, and then he took rest. It's like you take your evening meal at 5:30 or something, you go to your ashram, Haribo, take rest, or whatever, go to sleep. But Vrindavanas Thakur, he's Vyasa Muni. So he said, Lord Chaitanya cast his glance on the transcendental pastime of sleep. He looked at the Swapna Leela. He took a glance at the Swapna Leela then, like that. Very sweet. The night came to an end. Again, all Lord Chaitanya's students gathered around him. They sat down to study their books. Lord Chaitanya came and quickly bathed in the Ganga. And he sat down and began to teach from his books. But now that he was teaching Sanskrit and Naya, he did not say any word that was not connected with Krishna. Every word of his explanation was describing devotional service to Krishna. One student asked, oh, my dear Prabhu, my dear teacher, please, can you describe me about the dhatus, about the verbal roots? Lord Chaitanya said, all words are potencies of Lord Krishna. Now I will explain the sutras about verbal roots. Oh, my brothers, please listen. Who has the power to break or defeat my explanations? He goes on, Lord Chaitanya says, look at a king. A king has a splendid body, powerful, and he's decorated with gold ornaments, and he's glorious with sandalwood paste. The people say, this is Lord Chaitanya speaking, the people say that the king's words are the words of Yamaraj, or the words of Goddess Lakshmi. Still, please hear what happens to such a king when the breath of life is gone. Where do all his beautiful limbs and body go? Sometimes such a body of the king becomes ashes if it's burned. or it may just be buried in the earth. The potency of Krishna lives in all bodies as the breath of life. It is that force that one loves. It is to that force that one is devoted. In other words, the man says, I love my wife. But actually you don't love your wife. You're thinking you love the wife, the body of your life, but actually you love the prana. He's translating prana as force. Prana means the life force, the energy, the soul, the atma, the consciousness. This is what we're actually attracted to. A dead body has no attraction. Will a man want to embrace a dead body of his wife? No. But when that prana is there, when that life is there, when the soul is there, then, so Lord Chaitanya is mentioning this point. It is that force, it is that soul that one actually loves. It is to that force that we're devoted. We say, oh, I'm devoted. Man, this is a devoted husband. He's devoted to his wife. She's a devoted wife. She's devoted to her husband. But is she devoted to that body? No, she's devoted to that force, the actual soul. But in ignorance, we think it's the body we're devoted to. Lord Chaitanya goes on. Although they argue, it is true or it is not true, ordinary teachers do not understand this truth. Please give your thoughts to it and understand it. There may be a very respected person before whom I bow down to show my respects. But when the life breath leaves him, I must bathe if I touch his body. In other words, when the king is alive, you bow down and offer respects, you touch his feet, touch to your head, you consider that's purifying to touch the feet of the king, or we bow down to our mother and father in the morning, we touch their feet, this is considered auspicious. But if that king dies, or mother and father die, and their dead body is lying there, if you touch the dead body of the king, you have to take a bath. Because if you touch a dead body, it's contaminating. Lord Chaitanya is making this point. But when the life breath leaves the body, I must bathe if I touch that body. The son may very happily embrace his father, but when the father's life breath leaves, the son must place fire on the father's head. When this father's alive, you embrace your father. When he dies, you have to burn him up. Cremate him. Therefore, the life breath is the potency of Krishna. It is the life breath that is loved by everyone. That is how I see it. Who has the power to refute my words? Lord Krishna's potency is supremely pure. It is worthy of our worship. Oh, my brothers, all of you should be firmly devoted to Krishna. So although Lord Chaitanya was asked a question about Sanskrit, because he's running a toll, a Sanskrit school, so he only explained the meaning of that word. Of course, we don't know what it is because it's only English here. But he only explained the meaning of that word in context of devotional service to the Lord. So then he tells his students, chant Krishna, worship Krishna, hear Krishna's name. Day and night meditate on Krishna's feet. Yamaraj has no power over anyone who offers water and durva grass to Krishna's feet. Worship the feet of Nanda's son. Those feet gave liberation to the Aga demon and Bhaka demon and Putana demon. Even though he was thinking of him as his son, Ajamil somehow remembered Krishna. For that reason, Ajamil went to Vaikuntha. Therefore, you should worship Krishna's feet. Digambara Shiva serves Krishna's feet. Goddess Lakshmi serves Krishna's feet. Ananta Shesha chants the glories of Krishna's feet. Placing a straw between your teeth, you should also worship Krishna's feet. As long as there is life within your bodies, you should engage in devotional service to Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna Pita, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pranadan. Krishna Pita, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pranadan. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your life and wealth. Therefore I say, you should worship Krishna's feet and declare, to Krishna I give my body and my thoughts. In other words, my mind and my body. So that's the end of Lord Chaitanya's preaching. So it's explained, Lord Chaitanya continued to preach for 6 hours without stopping. The students were totally enthralled, and they listened, completely rapt attention. No one spoke a word. Please know without a doubt that all these students were eternal servants of Krishna. If it were not so, how could they have the rare opportunity to study directly under Lord Krishna himself? Because their teacher was Lord Chaitanya. Their teacher was actually Krishna. After some moments, Lord Chaitanya returned to external consciousness. Embarrassed at heart, he looked at the faces of his students. And the Lord asked, in other words, before he was initiated, he would teach Sanskrit. And he was fully in external consciousness, simply teach all the roots and meanings and all the different meanings of the words. But when he came back from Gaya and was initiated, he was so much in Bhav, he was completely absorbed in inner consciousness. So when he would begin to speak about Sanskrit, he would simply absorb himself in this internal meditation of being Krishna's eternal servant and to begin to preach the glories of the Lord. Explain the sutras about the verbal roots. Do you understand? Did I give you a good explanation about the Sanskrit verbal roots? Then all the students said, yes, you gave the right explanation. Who can contradict your explanations? Whatever you say, Prabhu, is the truth. What other teachers are teaching about Sanskrit, that is not the truth. Then the Lord said, tell me what you do. My life heirs are very agitated. Can you please explain, how did I explain the verbal roots? Lord Chaitanya wants to hear what he taught them. So then this one student said, you said that all the verbal roots are names of Krishna. Your explanations of the Sanskrit sutras and commentaries spoke of Krishna only. Who has the power to understand your explanations? But it explains how the students are... I hope it's like, Bhagi Bihari Lala Ki! It must be the Vrindavan atmosphere is entering the temple. They open the curtain for 1 minute. Dai Radhapati Saradiki! Boom! They close the curtains. Dai Ho Radhapati Saradiki! Dai! Now they, in Vrindavan, when Bhakti Vihari gets darshan, everyone's waiting and they're singing songs. Then when they pull the curtain, everyone's really so much utkantika, eagerness to have darshan. And they're singing songs, and they're anticipating. Everyone's hearts are pulsating with anticipation, and their minds are vibrating with excitement to see the Lord that they traveled so far to see, and they waited so long to see the beautiful smiling face of Bhakti Vihari and receive his blessings. So they're waiting, and there's so much. The atmosphere is just alive with enthusiasm and excitement. Hundreds of people standing there for the first darshan at 10 o'clock, and the Mangal Arati is at 10 o'clock. Is that a good system, huh? Especially for you think that would be the time for Mangal Arati in the city, because in a city like Delhi, Bombay, everyone stays up till midnight, 1 o'clock. So you have Mangal Arati at 10 o'clock, it's a good time. In the village, everyone gets up with sunrise, they go to the farming, and they go to the bathing in the sacred rivers. So they should have Mangal Arati 4 or 5 o'clock. No, that's natural. But 4:30 in the city? But Bhakti Vihari, he's out very late at night, and he sleeps late, and he gets up at 10 o'clock. That's why he has such a big following. He's the biggest temple in Vrindavan. Why? Because Mangal Arati is at 10 o'clock. If we have Mangal Arati at 10 o'clock, we'll have the biggest temple. So everyone's excited to have darshan. So when the curtains open up, everybody says, Jai Bhakti Vihari Lala Ki! And they're all excited. Then after 1 minute, they close the curtains. Everybody goes, oh. Everyone lets out a sigh of like unhappiness. Oh. Because they can't see him. And then when they open the curtain 2 minutes later, ah. Bhakti Vihari, ah. Then they close the curtain. Oh. Ah. Oh. So from ecstasy to anguish, from agony to ecstasy. They're in ecstasy one moment, then they're in agony the next moment. The question was asked, if we have received neem beads from our spiritual master, should we trade them in for tulsi beads? The answer is unequivocally no. You should never trade them in. Because the presence of the spiritual master is a tirtha. Wherever the spiritual master goes, that creates a holy tirtha. When Srila Prabhupada touches your Nimun beads, his touch is Sparshamani. Those Nimun beads are invested, or any beads, are invested with the Bhav of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is a Madhurya Bhakta. He's completely in pure love of God, full of pure love of Radha and Krishna. So his body is radiating that. His touch, his glance, his words. That's why we say, when we glorify Guru, we say, Prema Bhakti Yahavaiti Avidya Vinyashyate. Everyone knows, right? Prema Bhakti Yahavaiti. From you, what is the translation? From you, ecstatic prema emanates. From your glance, from your words, from your touch, from your books, from your beads. So I receive, these are the most sacred thing, the beads that we received from our Gurudev. That's the first point. Now, second point is, we have to give regard to our acharyas, Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. So Prabhupada is making a statement, it doesn't matter what beads. So I'm also saying the same thing, it doesn't matter. Your Gurudev chants on whatever beads they are, those beads are surcharged with the prema and the bhava of your spiritual master. So when you touch those beads, whether they're neem beads or pine wood or rosewood or whatever, teak beads, teak wood, you will become purified. They become the same as tulsi. They become surcharged. They become Krishnaized by the touch of your guru. That's one point. But another point is, now we have to consider Sanatana Goswami's statements from the Shastra. He's encouraging that we should chant on tulsi beads. Therefore, if one is an acharya, a spiritual master, and he has an opportunity, because there's plenty of tulsi beads available, he will present tulsi beads to his disciples. He will not disregard the Shastra. He will not say, Prabhupada says it doesn't matter, so it doesn't matter. We have to synthesize things. In one level it doesn't matter, to answer this question, but our acharyas say it is recommended, so we ought to also follow our acharyas to give tulsi beads to our disciples. This is also... So everything is harmonized there. It's not... No, we don't follow Sanatana Goswami. We only follow Prabhupada, not the Shastras or Gurus or Acharyas. We follow Prabhupada, and we have to understand how to follow Prabhupada. So it's not, well, it doesn't matter, so I will just give pine wood beads. No, it doesn't matter if you already have, like Yanagamya, like you have these beads, whatever. This is the principle. We have to understand the principle. How Guru transports, He changes. He can turn Nimun beads into Tulsi beads because the purifying effect is there. But when one is considering some say you're a bhakta, and, well, it doesn't matter. Prabhupada said it doesn't matter. But that's a consideration. That's a letter. You're quoting a letter. You're not quoting Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said his books are the law books. He never said his letters. In fact, he never told his letters to be published. We're publishing them. That's our independent discretion. The law books, Prabhupada's own words were, my books which I have given are the law books. So in the law books, it says, in Prabhupada's law books, it says, we will print a book, Hari Bhakti Vilas. And this is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Lord Chaitanya gave the outline of Hari Bhakti Vilas personally to Sanatana Goswami, and said, now expand upon it. And in the purports, Prabhupada quotes many times from Hari Bhakti Vilas. So we give high regard to Hari Bhakti Vilas. We respect it, and we honor it, and we follow it. Our whole deity worship, which has just been upgraded by ISKCON, GBC, is based on Hari Bhakti Vilas. So in those same deity worship books, which are the official documents of ISKCON, it says one should chant on tulsi beads. So are we to disregard our own official GBC deity worship shastras? We have to synthesize. So therefore, if a new person is coming, if we're devotees, we should know the science. So when we're preaching to Bhakta Joe or someone, and we want to, we should give them tulsi beads. Why not give them tulsi beads? So immediately their sense of touch can be purified by touching the pure devotee of the Lord. Why should we say it doesn't matter? Let us just sell Nimun beads. They're cheaper. Give them Nimun beads. We should give the best according to Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu.